Hey guys, it's Denver, and you are listening to Let's Have a Drink. I hope everyone out there is living happy and healthy. This episode is a little delayed, and I know I have some explaining to do. So, I planned on recording and releasing this episode last Friday, but then I decided to go to brunch.
Do you want a mimosa?
Yeah.
Come on. And, you know, I had a mimosa or two, and then it was too late, so I was like, fuck it. Plus, Jonte and I had a date night plan for the reopening of the highlight room for Friday night, so I was a little pressed for time. Which, by the way, it reminded me how much I hate Tao Group and that whole, like, faux pretentious but actually kind of trashy Hollywood nightlife scene. But I think the highlight room as an establishment is gorgeous, and they covered up the pool, and they made it into, like, a VIP section, and the music was fire, and everyone was super spaced out, and they had plexiglass between the tables, and it was a nice night. So then Saturday rolled around, and I woke up to banging, and not that kind of banging. My neighbors moved out, and they were redoing their floors and installing new floorboards. So it was so loud, and I didn't want to have to worry about banging and saws and whatever, so Saturday didn't work. And then Sunday rolled around, and I woke up early to sit down and record, and I made it like halfway through the show hoping that I could finish, but I wasn't moving through things fast enough, and then I remembered I had a Soho House pool reservation at 12:30, so I stopped. But I had every intention of finishing it later, but life kind of took me through the day.
Oh, shut up, you're so annoying!
And that brought me to Monday, Labor Day, and my best friend Jess had like a mini cookout with our quarantine bubble friends. So in my mind, if it's Monday, then it's already Friday, so it might as well wait, and here we are.
Okay, and I'm here now, so what's up?
I'm glad it happened this way, because I need to address what happened in Atlanta last weekend.
What is the tea? The girls are fighting! No!
It was Labor Day. Also, Black Gay Pride. And I honestly lost track of the amount of fight videos that I saw on social media.
And that
It's one thing to not social distance and pack yourself in a hot, sweaty, crowded club with no masks in the middle of a pandemic where 200,000 people have died thanks to a virus that's mostly spread through close contact while breathing and talking.
Coronavirus!
And it's another thing to do that only to get your ass beat in the club.
Let me fucking put a hand on me. I'm gonna fucking rip your face off, bitch.
What did he do?
Can he fucking push me next time?
I don't know what to say.
Atlanta has to do better. And it's not anything out of the ordinary. You know, I grew up in Atlanta, high school in Atlanta, well, right outside, you know, college in Athens. Like, club fights are nothing new, but do better. And that goes for the gays and the straights.
And that's on period, bitch.
With that being said, let's get right into this episode's drink.
Oh, yeah.
I mentioned that I got some backlash for not doing any brown liquor cocktails, and after I mentioned that backlash, I got even more backlash on top of that.
Now everybody's ganging up against me. For what? What the fuck did I do?
This week's drink is appropriately called the Black Panther in honor of the late Chadwick Boseman.
Damn.
I think like just about everyone, the news of Chadwick's passing completely rocked me, and it took me a minute to process it. And it's sad that it took his passing for me to acknowledge how immensely talented he was and to really take inventory of his career. There's not really anything that I can say about Chadwick that hasn't already been said by his peers and those who've worked with him, but for my own personal tribute, we have the Black Panther. And it's a whiskey-based cocktail consisting of blackberries, dark cherries, basil, lime, agave, and sparkling water. And what I like about it is when you muddle everything together, it makes like this purplish, burgundy-colored cocktail that reminds me of Wakanda.
Wakanda forever!
So, there you have it. You can find that recipe on the @drinkswithdenver Instagram and soon to be drinkwithdenver.com. I remember saying that brown liquor wasn't exactly diet-approved, but to be perfectly honest, this past week, I said, fuck that diet. It is what it is. Sometimes you just want to be comfortable, and this week there was so much going on that a diet just really was the last thing on my mind.
Whatever. I'm getting cheese fries.
But because it doesn't look like I'll be in anybody's spin studio anytime soon, I decided to get new boxing gloves. My apartment building has like this outdoor workout area, and they just added a bunch of free weights, which is nice. But there's also a boxing bag. And, you know, I've said it 1,000 times, I do struggle with working out at home. But now that there's more of a functional outdoor workout situation, I'm going to try and ramp up, and that includes swapping out cycling for boxing as cardio. Believe it or not, I used to box all the time before I discovered Spin. And there's a really dope place on Melrose in LA called Crew Box. And it's basically like a rhythmic boxing class. So think cycling, but you beat the bag to the beat. And it's super fun.
I want to lose 3 pounds.
So anyway, I'm going to start incorporating that into my workouts and do what I got to do to find my way back. You know, I got to get back to these free weights and pray to the titty gods that my titties start to titty the way they used to titty. Because right now they are not.
Titty, titty!
All right, so the 2020 MTV Video Music Awards took place not that long ago, and well, you know, it was really everything that's wrong with award shows all wrapped up in one place. First, Kiki Palmer was amazing. This like, love her, incredible. Yes, queen, all that.
I can't believe MTV asked me to host. I don't know if I was their first choice or the only one brave enough to do it during COVID.
But the thing about the VMAs that's so apparent now that I think maybe we all missed when we were young and blinded by the media is that it's nothing more than a PR machine for whichever artist and their label has the best relationship with MTV at the time. This year, the VMA queen was very obviously Lady Gaga.
In the room and 99 don't believe in you.
It makes the show really difficult to watch when you know that what you're watching has no merit. Like, not to say that the artists don't deserve their accolades and work hard. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that the VMAs, they're essentially participation trophies. And as the years have gone by, they don't even try to hide it. There used to be like one or two awards that, you know, they were given just so a big name would show up, or they'd toss one or two at a performer to justify why they were there. But now it's like the whole damn show. It gives very much like, you know, I'll perform if you give me an award, or I'll show up if you give me an award. Yeah, I'll put on 5 outfits and 5 different masks and, you know, give you moments if you give me the biggest award of the night and let me promote my album and shit. Like, I get it. The game is the game. I think that I'm at a point where I'm tired of the game. Especially when the players aren't even really the ones who should be playing. I think award shows were fun when they at least reflected some kind of quality, you know? Like when people who deserved to be playing the games were the ones who actually got to play. But now it feels like all of the good artists are just benched and like all the third string girls are running up and down the court. Anyway, shout out to Kiki Palmer and, you know, her cashing yet another check. And shout out to whoever was responsible for the effects because the backdrops were amazing. Oh, and shout out to Doja Cat for having the very, very obvious performance of the night. Why don't you say so? The most hyped versus battle went down between Brandy and Monica, and you know, it went down exactly as I expected it to happen. I had some friends over from my quarantine bubble to watch it, and it was super fun. And you know, as we watched it, I think I just walked away with a few really obvious thoughts. One, it's super obvious that Brandy and Monica don't really fuck with each other like that. Like, there's no beef, but I just don't think their vibes mix, and I think Brandy irritates the fuck out of Monica. And that's fine. I tweeted that Brandy would be the first to throw some subtle shade at Monica, and she did. And, you know, thankfully, everyone was on their best behavior throughout the entire thing, because I think there were a few different points in that conversation where things could have gone completely left. And I'm also glad Monica wore that whole, like, Fendi corset number, because it left zero room for her to hide any type of gun anywhere on her person.
Everybody need a dressing room, please. Ooh, I want everybody at the motherfucking dressing room, please.
As for who won, you know, I'm gonna give it to Brandy. And it would have been like a stronger sweep for Brandy had she not gotten points deducted for those poems.
That I dance like I got diamonds at the meeting of my thighs.
Lord, here we go, honey. Miss Angelou.
Angelo.
Oh, and there was a point during the show where Brandy kept trying to like censor Monica's use of the word hoe. And I don't know what world Brandy lives in, but it's clear that whatever world Brandy lives in is different. Someone on Twitter said that Brandy has the same sense of humor as Raven Simone, and they hit the nail on the head. And it's even funnier when you realize that Raven has the same sense of humor as Whoopi Goldberg. And it gets even funnier once you realize that Raven, Brandy, and Whoopi all have the exact same sense of style. And I'm going to just leave it there. I don't know who should do a versus battle next. I know we have Patti LaBelle and Gladys Knight coming up on Sunday. But, you know, the format has changed so much that, you know, it started off as that whole like cute quarantine thing we were doing, but the format's so different now that it doesn't excite me like it used to. And I think everyone that I would want to see is either dead or crazy, except for Mariah. But even then, like, I would want to see her do the thing that people are talking about on social media, where she just sits there and battles herself with the originals versus the remixes of all of her songs. Like, that would be fire.
It's, to quote my 5-year-old son, it's Boeing. Okay? It's boring.
You know, looking at my my little bullet points here, I was going to talk about Chad and Black Panther, but I don't really feel like being sad again, and I already did that, so let's just move on. Niecy Nash is a queer icon. She surprised the hell out of me, and I think she surprised the hell out of everyone when she popped up on social media married to a woman.
I know you lying.
And I have a lot of questions, especially considering that she filed for divorce from her husband in December of 2019. That divorce was finalized in March 2020, and here we are in September, and she's 2 weeks into being married to a woman. Now, I understand moving on. I think the Lord knows that I completely understand the art of moving on, but let's just be honest with each other for a minute, okay? To be married to a man, then to divorce that man, to then find a woman, and then to explore your sexuality enough and get comfortable enough to marry that one woman all within a few months. Something about that math doesn't really math to me. And I need for Niecy to make that math math.
Do the math!
Especially after she's already been divorced twice before. It's not like she, you know, showed up dating a woman or announced that she was in a relationship with a woman, you know, 6 months after her divorce was finalized. No. She was in with that woman enough to want to marry her. They, Niecy told her story in People magazine this week, and I read it. You know, it was cute. She said that, you know, love is love, and she hasn't been hiding her sexuality this whole time and all of that stuff. And, you know, to be fair, I think that that's all true. But I want to know the timeline. I want to know, is this the first woman? I want to know, you know, what her kids thought. I have a lot of questions, and not that it's any of my business, but I'm also a little nosy, so I just want to know, and I hope that as time goes on, we get to hear more of Niecy's story. But shout out to her and Jessica.
Now watch me.
Yo, has anyone seen Mulan on Disney Plus?
I want some Mushu.
I heard it was terrible, but the good thing is Disney announced that while it's $30 to watch it now, in December, it'll be included with the rest of Disney Plus, so I'ma just wait till then. And no shade, but I listened to that new version of Christina Aguilera's Reflection, and honestly, it was so dramatic, I don't even know if I need to see the movie anymore. Like, I get it. I have been waiting for this Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion for what feels like forever. Forever. Part 1 and 2, they've already aired, and they've covered a lot. So we'll start from part 1. So they started with Kyle and Garcelle and, you know, like I their whole issues. And I see why Kyle's feelings were hurt when Garcelle made those comments about her not really being her friend. But Kyle also has to understand that Garcelle was right. If Kyle isn't centered in the conversation or the situation or whatever, then she really doesn't ever give it that much energy. And she never really gave Garcelle that much energy outside of like them being in the same room. So, you know, like none of their personal issues ever seem that deep. But I do have a problem with this whole charity situation.
You came to my charity event, raised your paddle to donate $5,000 and never paid.
What?
Kyle accused Garcelle of pledging $5,000 to a charity and not donating. And Garcelle pushed back, insisting that, you know, she did pay it and she didn't know what was going on. And she basically called Kyle a liar. Well, come to find out, Garcelle got on Instagram and said that the payment slipped through the cracks and it never got paid.
I got called out at the reunion of Beverly Hills saying that I bid for a charity event and did not pay for it. I hope you guys know better than that. It fell through the cracks innocently. I was traveling all over the world last year and it innocently fell through the cracks. Why wouldn't I pay for something that I...
So, I hate to say it, but Kyle was absolutely right. Kyle was absolutely wrong, however, for not addressing it with Garcelle in the 5 months after the charity event happened. Kyle had been sitting on that tidbit just to throw it in Garcelle's face at the reunion when it could have easily been resolved with a text or an email or whatever. And I think that's super malicious, and I don't like that.
I don't like that.
We then get to Sutton, and, you know, I like Sutton, but for the life of me, I do not understand why she insists on wearing these couture nightgowns all of the time. She made a comment about her disdain for Tati's clothes, and I'm like, girl, you walk around in $10,000 nighties. Anyway, I like Sutton. She said all she needed to say and got it out, and I think we can just move on to the real issue, and that's Denise fucking Richards.
Oh, f***ing shut up. Denise, you lie.
considering we're at Denise already and that this is a three-part reunion, I don't know what the other part's going to have, but it doesn't really look good for Denise. I will say that it's rare that Erica chimes in on anything, I think, which is why I personally like her so much. But, it's clear that Denise pissed her off because she came in hot.
Motherfucker, I'm out.
And you could see the whole time in Lisa Rinna's face that she was waiting for this reunion to come and give Denise what she needed. And I feel like part three is going to be a lot more of Lisa. Now, as far as the situation goes, Denise was lying. She lied about her kids' reaction to the sex conversation. She lied about not being upset about it. She lied about the words that came out of her mouth. She lied about fucking Brandy. She lied about how well she knows Brandy. She lied about why she didn't show up at parties.
Oh, you're so angry.
Denise is a liar, liar, Malibu, beach bum, loungewear, pants, shorts, on fire.
You knew exactly what you were doing. Don't you around and lie to me about that.
I'm not lying to you.
And continuing into part two, it was a bunch more lies, and I mean, that's all I got. Right before part two aired, it was announced that Denise is not coming back next season.
Bye, bitch.
And that makes the most sense. The announcement came right at the same time Brandy was taping Watch What Happens Live, which it was the first time we got to hear from Brandy since Denise pushed back against her coming to the reunion. Brandy said that she was ready to go to the reunion, and then Denise pushed back, and then she and Andy decided that it would be better for her to just sit down with him one-on-one, and she did. And, you know, Brandy brandied in the best way Brandy can brandy.
The first night I met Denise, we made out in the bathroom. She asked to see my tits because she said she had to get her boobs redone. We went into the restroom, she threw me against the wall, and we were making out, but we were wasted, and it was fun, and I'm like, I'm down for fun. And then she invited me away to her set, and that was it.
And her story didn't waver. She came with, you know, supporting facts and additional details. And at this point, it's clear that the only reason Denise won't sit down with Brandy on camera is because she knows that Brandy will back her into a corner. Dorit is selling her house again. You know, the one that she just got last year and had that big party for on the show this year.
Say
yeah.
Say what?
So not only is she selling it, but she's selling it for $3 million more than what she paid for it last year. $3 million. She paid $6 million. It's listed at $9 million, right? And the word on the street is that it is the latest in her and PK's little scheme. So walk with me. If you need to refill your drink, now would be an appropriate time. So someone sent me a screenshot of the closing documents on Dorit's house, and there's something like 10, 11 lenders on it, which means that Dorit and PK basically invest in these houses with other companies and business entities. So they don't actually own them outright. One of the investors is said to be tied to the developer of the house, right? The developer is also the same developer who worked on like 90% of that little stretch of Encino where Dorit lives. Walk with me. Here's why that's important. Dorit and PK are allegedly among a group of people that work with the developer to help set prices for properties in certain areas. How does that work? Let me explain it. So the developer built PK and Dorit's house for under $2.5 million and sold it to them and their little investor group for $6 million, right? Which, if they're on an interest-only mortgage at 20% down, they're probably paying like $1.2 million as a down payment, and then $200,000 a year for the mortgage. Keep in mind, they've only been in it for a year. So they buy it at one price, right? And then they stay for a short time, and then they turn around and try to sell it at a much higher price. Well, who's gonna buy a house at such a high price? Often in LA, you have like an overseas buyer who will come in, or you have someone who has a bunch of money who needs to stash it in property, or launder it, or, you know, whatever you wanna call it. Or the developer will round up a few other people with cash on hand and good credit to do the same thing. So Dorit and their investors get the house, sell it, and make, you know, some good money. But in turn, what it does is it artificially inflates the surrounding market. So now all of the other homes that the developer is in cahoots with, they're worth more because the, you know, house on the block is now worth $9 million when it's really a $2.5 million house that they finessed once into $6 million and then again into $9 million in less than a year.
Send that nigga to jail, period.
So in that scenario, everyone on the property wins walks away with a little bit of money. The neighborhood becomes known as like a wealthier area, and the scam continues. So anyway, they say that PK did the same thing in London, and that's how he ended up owing a bunch of money to people and got ran out. And that's how they ended up in the United States. And they're essentially doing the same thing here, hence their lawsuits and why they keep moving around.
Was your bank account frozen?
No.
Okay.
No.
Anything else you can add about it?
No, I can't really.
Does this have to do with the Beverly Beach lawsuit?
No, it has nothing to do with Beverly Beach. It's an ongoing issue that PK's had, and this was our bank account that I actually stopped anything from happening, and the judge decided to wait until the situation, things become more clear, and that's it.
And as much as I dislike Camille Grammer, I do think she was 100% spot on with her assessment of Dorit and PK and their finances. And I say this for everyone, and not just the super wealthy, but I'm always cautious of people, adults, who consistently bounce all over the place. And when I say bounce, I mean move. But in all honesty, like, I got in trouble for this on Twitter not too long ago. But when people tend to move around a lot and bounce from place to place as adults, I feel like they're either searching for stability or they're trying to outrun something. On social media, they like to frame it as, oh, I just like to travel. Or they like to pretend that they're always going to see someone or visit family or what have you. But from what I see, the self-proclaimed serial travelers, they like to convince people that they have a love of adventure when really they're unfulfilled and don't really have a sense of home. So they're always running away somewhere to avoid dealing with their own shit. And to make matters worse, they'll use pictures of like exotic places and tourist attractions to get attention and validation that they crave, but they wouldn't be able to get otherwise. And I'm not saying this is everyone, but I think it's more people than what you would imagine. But anyway, back to Real Housewives and Dorit and her scammer husband. Part 3 is next week. And honestly, I don't really know what's left. Denise is going to keep lying. And we know Brandy isn't there. And Garcelle, I like Garcelle, but I think that this reunion is doing her a disservice, and I think she interjects in weird places, and maybe it's the format, but I do think that if Denise is out, I don't know if Garcelle's gonna come back, but she might, because she has a new job with The Real and may want to like promote and do some things like that, but it's 50-50, you know. I think standing in solidarity with Denise is cute, but I also don't think that as a single mom, she can afford to turn down this Beverly Hills check, because it's one of those things like, you know, I'm sure she was fine without it, but once you get it, it's harder to turn it down, especially for a Denise. Before I slide into the Real Housewives of Potomac, I have to mention that The Boys is out. Season 2 is out on Amazon Prime. It's one of my favorite shows, and it's about superheroes. Well, let me just back up. It's about what happens when superheroes basically become celebrities and they start abusing their powers with no accountability. They become alcoholics and rapists and murderers. It's a lot like the police officers of America, but that's neither here nor there.
Oh, burn.
I think I'm like 2 episodes into season 2, and if it ends up anything like season 1, I think it's gonna be super wild. So check that out when you get a chance. It's one of like the only things that I watch on Amazon Prime, to be honest. Like, I watched that. I watched Making the Cut. What else? My cousin was telling me I need to watch, I think, a show called Hannah. I don't know. There's something about the Amazon interface that when I go to scroll through things on the Apple TV, I'm just like, no thank you. But apparently they have some shows, I guess. If there are any other Amazon Prime TV shows you think I should watch, let me know. And I'll try to add them to the ever-expanding list of things that you guys tell me to watch. But okay, Potomac. So just when I said that the show was boring me, they got me. Dr. Wendy showed up and she showed her ass at Monique's Lake House. And as of this moment, I don't really think I like Dr. Wendy very much. And here's my issue. Wendy, like a lot of the DC girls, they get this false idea that their degrees mean something to people who aren't recruiters. So back up. Wendy, she showed up to the house and caught a swift attitude with Ashley because Ashley brought her little bald-headed baby and Wendy left hers at home. Now, remember, Wendy was all too happy to get away from her 3 kids when Monique gave her the invite, which was on camera. So why it's an issue now, I don't know. But anyway, she came at Ashley like, I had to do so much to be here without my baby because I'm amazing and I can do what needs to be done. And she was very like aggressive with her delivery. And there's this thing that happens where oftentimes darker skinned black women are viewed as aggressive when exhibiting the same behaviors as lighter skinned women. That is very, very much a real thing. However, This wasn't that. Stevie Wonder, trapped in a closet with the lights off, could see that Wendy was unnecessarily aggressive in that kitchen. And it progressed. So fast forward to dinner, when the incident came up again, Wendy quickly escalated that argument, calling Ashley all types of bitches and fake and referred to her as like your kind or something like that, all after acknowledging that her behavior in the kitchen was out of pocket. And what got me was that even the other girls were trying to help Wendy out by trying to get her, you know, to acknowledge the root of her anger and trying to give her the opportunity to take accountability and move past it. But then, you know, as we expected, she brought up the fact that she has 4 degrees. Wendy, ma'am, no one cares.
I don't give a fuck.
You have all these degrees, yet here you are coming in as the lowest paid on a reality show, sitting at the same table as the ladies you're trying to step on. I mean, let's keep it real. All those degrees brought you to reality TV? You don't even need a degree for that. There's clearly something that these single degree ladies, or hell, no degrees, I don't know. But there's something that these ladies have that you want. Otherwise, you wouldn't be screaming on my TV. And that's why she freelances on CNN, which those appearances are unpaid, by the way. But it's because the degrees for her, they're not enough. She feels like her degrees should give her some, like, a certain type of recognition, and they don't. So she keeps turning to TV for that validation. Like, no one gives a fuck about who does what for CNN. And to keep it frank, they'll call anyone on their list. So here she is on Bravo. I just think the whole thing was unnecessary and rude, and Ashley said it best. She's just mad because she didn't get to bring her baby. So after that argument, she apologized to Ashley, and, you know, everything was fine. And we're back to talking about Michael cheating. And from the preview for this coming week's episode, it looks like they'll finally give us some version of the truth. And the truth is that Michael is married to Ashley and they have a baby. And apparently a second baby on the way, but Michael also likes dick. I don't know how else to say it.
Everybody loves dick.
If it works for them, it works for them. But they can at least be honest so we don't have to deal with another Michael Darby storyline. Oh, and I just started Lovecraft Country. And I don't really know what to talk about it because I'm still not sure what I'm watching. I like it. It's like American Negro Horror Story. And that's all I got. Apple announced that there's an event set for Tuesday. And it's typically where they will announce the new iPhones and iPads and Apple Watches. But the streets are saying that the iPhones are delayed. So this event will mostly be focused on Apple Watches and iPads. Which is interesting. And I don't necessarily think I believe that. I still think we'll see the iPhone 12 in its new navy blue. And, you know, but we're in unprecedented times, so who really knows? But I will be there, 10 a.m. on the 15th, live tweeting as always. Apple and Fortnite, they're still in court. So Fortnite's gone from the App Store. I don't know if grown people play Fortnite, but it's still gone. And we're 1 week closer to TikTok getting banned in the United States. Ooh, my voice is going out. It's funny, everybody always laughs because I talk low, but the longer I talk, the more my voice just tends to go away. But as I was saying, we are 1 week closer to TikTok getting banned in the United States. Disney Plus is trying out a group watch feature in Canada that's going to allow multiple users to watch things together. But they all have to be subscribers, of course, and it should roll out to the US and other markets in the fall. I don't really watch anything on Disney Plus except for the occasional Marvel film. But I guess for families and friends and kids, that's useful. I don't know. Amazon Basics, you know, those budget-friendly chargers and adapters that Amazon sells, well, they've basically been catching fire all over the globe. One man went to the hospital after his chair caught on fire while he was sleeping, apparently due to a melted USB cord. Another man saw fire coming from an Amazon Basics surge protector with just like one phone charger plugged in, and it almost burnt him and his baby up. Somebody else with an Amazon Basics microwave, which, to be fair, if you buy an Amazon Basics microwave, you might deserve to have your shit get burned down. But anyway, it caught on fire while he was sleeping. No, that's wrong. It caught on fire when his 8-year-old heated up a macaroni and cheese cup. And apparently, reports have been piling up for years. CNN found 1,500 reviews since 2016, basically describing over 70 different products that have caught up or sparked or almost got caught on fire. Amazon has taken some of them down, but not all of them. But, you know, if you want my advice, whenever you're dealing with a cheaper off-brand version of anything designed to pair with something higher end, just don't. Like, there's a reason certain things cost more. Even if it's not evident in design and function, it's on the back end, whether there's research or testing, specifications, whatever. Like, there's usually a reason. Like, I don't think you would go to Bentley and then go to Walmart and get, like, seat covers or something. You know, just make your accessories match. It'll save you a lot of headache in the future. But, okay, I'm tired of tech and my voice is going out. So, let's hit music. You know, there is zero way I could come here and not address Chloe and Halle's Do It remix. You guys. And you know, I love the girls, but it was... it could have all been so simple. Like, it should have started with Doja or Mulatto's verse and then hit the hook and then slid into Chloe and Halle's new verses. Hook again, new bridge, done. I don't know what they were trying to do, but it was not it. It wasn't even one singular thing that made it bad. At one point, people were trying to blame the City Girls and Carisha, and even that was minute in the grand scheme of things. You know, for Carisha, none of what I heard surprised me. Like, have you listened to her talk? She can barely talk without a beat, so I don't think we should be surprised that throwing a beat in the mix would trip her up from time to time. It is what it is. SZA came back with Hit Different, and I really enjoy it. The only thing that gives me pause is that when SZA dropped Control, she was mostly in a lane of her own. But in the years that she's been gone, we've seen like a lot of other girls who have slipped into that lane. You know, your Summer Walkers, your Cash Pages, etc. And I think it'll be interesting to see if SZA can give us an entire project without it feeling redundant or sounding too similar to what we've been hearing. She does have her songwriting and her ear for melody that gives her a really strong edge. I just hope that she uses it to her advantage. Aluna, who you may know as Aluna George, dropped her first solo album, and I really cannot get over how much I like it. Number one, there aren't enough black girls in dance music, and out of the ones that are there, there certainly aren't enough black girls in dance music who are freely expressing their blackness through the music. So Aluna's album is super refreshing, and I can't speak highly enough of it, so please, please, please go check that out. And I don't know if I talked about Katie's album or not, but it's grown on me. It's like inspirational pop therapy music, and I appreciate it for what it is. There aren't any of those classic Katy Perry bangers, and the songs are good, and you know, girl, I get it. Life is a lot, and sometimes you just need to sing and dance about being alive. Lastly, Toni Braxton's new album, Spell My Name, is out, and I like it. Aside from one or two songs, it does sound kinda dated, but we wish her the best. I will say it does not touch her last album with Babyface at all. That album was fire. And that brings us to the end of this episode. As I mentioned earlier, there is an Apple event on Tuesday, so I will most definitely be back next week with a Everything We Got to See episode. I think that'll be fun. Before I forget, please, please, please visit vote.gov and register to vote if you haven't already. If you have, then check your voter registration. It's getting down to the wire, and I cannot stress the importance of getting Trump the fuck up out of office. So please, please, please go out and vote. Do it early if you can. Do it early if you can. We can't keep doing this, y'all. So anyway, thank you. I appreciate you for listening. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the show, rate and review. Let me know what you think. You can find the recipes for all the drinks at Instagram on Instagram at Drink with Denver, and on Twitter of the same name. You can follow me personally on Instagram at just.denver, on Twitter at _justdenver. And until next time.